good morning. Welcome to Next Gen Sunday. And we are glad that you guys are here. So we got our student section live and energy. So this morning, so it's great to have the kids choir to highlight our second through fifth graders this morning. And so thank you for being here. Listen, I always want to make sure that we thank, it's an incredible team that I get to serve with. And this team works effortlessly, I mean, just tirelessly all year long to serve the children and the families of Northwoods. And so our family ministries team working with our birth through our college, just they do a great job. And our volunteers, a lot of them are serving right now in D-Land, but some of you might be out here because you're pulling second service duty in our Discovery Land, but we could not do what we do without our D-Land, our Quest, and our Converge and College Life volunteers. So thank you for what you guys do to impact this next generation of students. So, and just want to encourage you, listen, today and all this month in August, we're going to be out there for family ministries at our volunteer table, and we would love to just talk with you. There might be more ways than you think for you to potentially serve and help impact the lives of children and students. And so maybe if God lays that on your heart, or you're like, hey, I'd just like to know what you guys need. Maybe that's what God is leading me to. I just invite you to stop by and visit with us as well. So good to have you here. Good to have those of you joining online with us as well. Well, hey, this is one of our eighth grade students. This is Wegba. Everybody say, hi, Wegba. All right, and we are going to be looking out of Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. So if you have your Bibles and want to open it or open it on your Bible app, it's going to be on the screen for you as well. But I've asked Wegba if he would just read us through this passage to start our time here this morning. Go ahead, brother.
Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels.
All right. Thank you, Wegba. Appreciate that very much. So, yeah. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, I thank you for your word that you make known to us so that we can know you, we can know who you created us to be, and we can see the best way for how we are to live our lives in obedience to you. So, Lord, I ask just for your blessing on the rest of our morning together. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Well, folks, this morning I want to share a question that I've been wrestling with for the last several months. And that question is, am I a follower of Jesus or am I a fan of Jesus? Now, maybe at first glance you might say, well, aren't both good? Right? In our world, when we think of, you know, things that we're a fan of, being a fan is good, right? But that question, how we answer that, has a more life-changing reality to it. And I just want to take you kind of through a journey that I've been. I want to start by just kind of providing an understanding of what I mean by each of those terms, follower and fan. So a follower of Jesus represents a life of complete submission to the will of God, in obedience to how God wants to place me, use me, which includes all of my time, all of my resources, all of my relationships. Just a few examples in scripture, we're not gonna elaborate on them, but when we look in the Old Testament at people like Samuel or Daniel, just to name two, or in the New Testament, when we look at Peter and Paul, those are people that represent followers. They are 100% sold out, all in. And then when we come to that word fan, what do we mean by that? Well, a fan of Jesus represents a life where maybe we submit to God and we walk in obedience when it's convenient for us or it suits our life situation. Maybe another way to look at what a fan is would be that it's maybe more of an acquaintance with or an interest in Jesus over a deep relationship. And we see throughout Scripture that there were those who fell into that fan category. Maybe they were excited about Jesus for a while, but then Jesus got to a point where his teaching was more than they were willing to adhere to, and they stopped following him. Or I think of the rich young ruler that, you know, at first seemed like he was, oh, I want to know, how can I follow you, have eternal life? But when Jesus set that bar, he turned away and he walked away. So I want to talk a little bit about things that I'm a fan of. So any Star Wars fans out there? Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I grew up born in the early 70s. And so, you know, Star Wars was it for me. Some people are Lego people. I'm a Star Wars person. And so my parents were fortunate enough to indulge me. And I've got quite a extensive Star Wars collection. I've got, you know, cases of action figures and that. And this is my Millennium Falcon, right? So, this thing has been played with hard. Some of the stickers are off. There's a section you could put batteries in to, you know, give it some sound there. But, you know, this has been sitting in a bin, either in my basement or in a storage unit for years and years. All right. And so I had to go yesterday and dig it out. When I was a kid, I played with it all the time. But, you know, then I got older and, you know, it just kind of got put aside. And now it's sitting in a bin, or it will go back in a bin with the rest of it. It'll be something my kids are going to have to deal with when I'm gone. And they're going to be like, oh, my goodness, look at all Dad's Star Wars stuff. What are we going to do with it? All right. Maybe eBay will still be a thing then. So and then, you know, when it comes to being a fan, you know, I like sports. And so, you know, I have jerseys. So Patriots, you know, I'm from New England. So, you know, I got my Patriots jersey. I've got my Boston jersey, and I'm excited. They just went ahead of the New York Yankees in the American League East. So, you know, I've got my Cubs jersey. But again, yeah, if you want to cheer for them. But again, there was a time where maybe I was a little bit more engaged in following them. But these shirts have been in a bin in my closet. And you know, I even have a couple more just to show, you know, Texas Rangers. So this one's kind of cool. It's got a name on the back that's kind of special to me. And I'll talk about that here in a little bit. But, you know, I've been a Rangers fan. And then, of course, you know, my son played baseball. And so it was fun cheering him on and when he was playing. So, you know, I was a fan while he was playing baseball. But I'm not really a follower of any of these things anymore. I don't still play with my Star Wars action figures. I know that might surprise you, but I don't. And again, these jerseys have been sitting in a bin. So in total darkness, just waiting someday, hoping that I would come and put them on again. But today we want to go through the process of just looking at this question. It's a question that, again, a little over a year ago, a group of students and I, during one of our deeper classes, we were doing a book study on the book Not a Fan by pastor and author Kyle Eidelman. And this book takes us through the process of understanding what it means to be completely committed as a follower of Jesus Christ, determining if my relationship with Jesus is passive or passionate. And I mean, I initially answered that question emphatically, yes, of course I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, I gave my life to Jesus, really committed at 16. I went to Bible college. I've been fortunate to serve in ministry for almost three decades. I read my Bible. I pray. I mean, you know, I'm a pastor at a church. Of course, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But God has been asking me if I'm really willing to give and surrender every area of my life completely to him. And I've come to realize that maybe perhaps I teeter between being a fan and follower more than I think. So this morning, that's the question that I invite you to just join me in asking ourselves. Am I a follower of Jesus or am I just a fan? Our theme today is game on. So we've had kind of a sports, theme here today. You know, this phrase is used to communicate that we are ready. We are ready to take on something, a challenge. You know, other people, younger, hipper people, will say, let's go, but game on, let's go. I'm all in. When we choose to truly be a follower of Jesus, ready to be fully committed to him, then it's game on. Game on. All that to say that Jesus, whatever happens from this moment on, I'm ready to give you 100%. Let's go. I'm all in. Game on. Anybody here remember the band Spiral Staircase? That ring a bell? Okay. Maybe you don't know, the group, but in 1969, they had a hit song. Maybe you'll recognize it. We're going to play just a little clip. Don't make me sing. Sound familiar? Anybody know this song? All right. So it's called More Today Than Yesterday. I love you more today than yesterday. Obviously, this is a song a guy is writing about the special lady in his life that every day he loves her more and more. And listen, this is a song that, I've probably sung to my wife, at some point. I break out in song, just for no reason at all. The point of that is it causes me to say, do I take that approach with Jesus Christ? Do I really say, God, I can never know you fully in this life. And because of that, am I wanting to learn more about you? Do I love you more today, God, than I did yesterday? Because your mercies are new every morning. And because I realize the incredible pit of sin that you delivered me from. And so, do I take that approach with Jesus? And I think that's kind of the first step in the process is first knowing how much he loves us. I know most of you probably know this song. We sung it when we were younger. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he what? First loved me. We are loved, and maybe someone here this morning needs to hear that. You need to know that you are loved by Almighty God so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and for me. So we read Luke 9, 18 through 26, and this is kind of our base camp passage for today. And as we consider the question, am I a follower or am I a fan of Jesus? I just want to highlight a few things to help us and encourage us this morning. And so I want to go and look at verse 23. We're not going to go quite in order, so just follow along with me. I'll try to guide you as best I can. Luke 9, 23, then he, Jesus, said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. And so verse 23 provides three steps from moving from fan to follower, and here they are. Number one, deny themselves. Person has to deny themselves. Number two, take up their cross daily. And number three, to follow me, to follow Jesus. Let me elaborate just a little bit on these. Jesus always used illustrations that people could relate to. Again, maybe you've heard, he was the master teacher. I mean, he knew exactly what to say and how to say it to get his point across and to speak truth so that people could understand. Not everybody did, but he uses here the illustration of crucifixion. Crucifixion was a common method of execution in the Roman world, and we know that at that time, Israel was under the Roman rule. And so his disciples, those that would have heard Jesus say these words, they understood what crucifixion was. Whether they had actually ever seen anybody crucified or walking through a town or village where maybe people were still hanging on a cross, or at least they understood what crucifixion was. And so when Jesus says that you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow him, the idea here is that when a person is sentenced to be crucified, they actually carry their cross or part of their cross with them to the place where they're going to be crucified. And they have no choice but to deny themselves, the thought of getting out of it. you were sentenced. It was going to happen. There was no trying to reason your way or talk your way out of what your fate was about to be. A person did not carry the cross for any other reason than to be executed on it. And so when Jesus says, follow me, he's referencing the fact that he himself would be that example to follow. Verses 20 and 21 is where Jesus actually is foreshadowing his death here in this passage. So he's letting them know that the Son of Man was going to be handed over to the religious leaders. They were going to crucify him. But he also always says when he foreshadows his death that on the third day he would rise. And so here we have to understand Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he wasn't going to do first as an example to us. Jesus would take up his cross. He would deny the fact he is God the Son, but he's going to deny preserving his own comfort level. He's going to deny, giving in to not going through that pain and suffering that was more than just physical pain, but just the spiritual pain of God actually having to turn his back on him to judge sin. He was willing to deny himself, to take up his cross, to give his life, and follow the will of the Father. And he did that so that you and I could have an example to follow, but so that if he hadn't, that would have been a game changer. But because he did, we now have the opportunity to experience forgiveness of our sin. We have the opportunity to be free from the curse of sin and death. And we also have the hope that not only helps us in this life, but also the hope of eternal life. But what does this look like for us? So I want to just take you through a few things with each of these. So denying ourselves, it means that we put God's will and plan of our life ahead of our own ambitions and comfort. It means that we see all that we have as gifts from God to be used as he leads us to. And it means that we live our life not for us to be seen, but so as we follow Jesus' example, he is seen through us. What does it look like to take up our cross? We choose to die to self. His ways, not mine. His plans, not mine. His calling over my life, not my own calling over my life. Whatever circumstances we face, are we willing to sacrifice it all and face it with faith so that the glory, the power, the love, and the majesty of God can be seen through us? And the reality is that, for many of us, it may never actually come to giving that ultimate sacrifice of our physical life, but we know that many have and many are. We don't have to look even past the last week or so in the news to see, examples of Christians who were unashamed to gather to worship, to say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, even if it costs them everything as they take up their cross. And then following him in the Gospels, we see over 20 different conversations in which Jesus says, follow me. And the word that he uses there, follow in the Greek, akolutheo, it's a verb. It means to follow one who precedes, to join, to accompany, to be in the same way with, to be his disciple. Following Jesus means that we pattern our life after him. He is our example. He is our model. He is our ultimate mentor. And again, Jesus embodied this as he lived out the greatest commandment of first loving God, loving others, and again, being completely obedient to the will of God the Father. So now we come to verse 24, 25, and 26, and we have the why. Why should we deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him? And so Jesus says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. So just a few questions that I've been asking myself with this. Am I too busy trying to save my life, trying to preserve and protect my level of comfort, trying to fly under the radar, just do my best, but not really rock the boat, just to live a good life, to love Jesus, but maybe, you know, just in my own way and just try to get by until I'm able to be in the presence of him in heaven? Am I willing to risk my soul for eternity to maintain a lifestyle where the things of this world matter more than the heart of God? And then am I more concerned about what others think of me, even at the risk of offending God, risking God being ashamed of me? And the last thing that I couldn't even begin to imagine, thinking that I've done it right, thinking that I've done all the right things all my life, and then end up having what Jesus says in Matthew 7:23, away from me, I never knew you. See, if we stay in the fan zone, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to be followers of Jesus. So I want to share just three things that often hold us back from following Jesus and make it easy for us to stay stuck in the fan zone. And so here they are. Number one, fear. Second, apathy. And third, distractions. Let me talk about each one just briefly. Fear can be crippling. It can hold us back from the opportunities that God places before us. Fear actually, you know, in my life, you know, in worldly things, fear actually caused me to give up playing baseball in my freshman year of high school. I got hit in the head with a fastball. Fear got stuck in my brain and my heart, and I just couldn't get back out there. But fear can keep me from sometimes doing the things that God wants me to do, having the conversations with people that I need to have. Fear can be crippling. It can cause us to keep us from fully surrendering ourselves to God. Fear can cause worry and doubt, right? All the what ifs. Well, what if I fail? What if I don't know how to do what God's calling me to do? What if this? What if that? What if it's going to cost me more than I'm really willing to give? Well, Brian Schaus had the opportunity to live out the dream of many of us. I know I did. He was a Major League Baseball player. So, you know, back to this jersey right here. So, Texas Rangers. Yeah, I was one of the teams that he played for. He pitched at Bradley, went into the minors, made it up to the major leagues. And he was a left-handed specialist relief pitcher. So he had that wicked submarine delivery, right? That submarine delivery. He had a great, great career, ended as a pitching coach in the Texas Rangers organization. But even as a professional athlete, he experienced fear. And not just Brian, but also his wife, Tricia. She walked that journey along with her husband. You know, the pressures of playing sports at that level. And so I recently sat down with Brian and Tricia, and they shared their story of how their faith intersected with their fear, but how their faith helped them overcome fear. I'd like you to take a look at the screens, please.
I was pretty much fearful every time he picked up the baseball in a game. And he would ask me, he would say, "Don't you have faith in my ability or confidence in me?" And I absolutely did. I absolutely had 100% confidence in him. But I told him that I also had a lot of confidence in the hitters. And so I was fearful.
It was rough for the first 8 to 10 years, and that fear keeps creeping in of what am I going to do?
So a Bible verse became very, very important to me during this time, and it is Jeremiah 29:11. And I knew that God wanted the best for us, and I knew that he would provide for us.
And then I got an opportunity to go to Japan, and so once that happened, I thought, you know what, I guess my career is going to be over after this. But what it did was it put everything in perspective of I got to get my relationship right and put God first and not baseball first. And so I was able to spend a lot of time over there reading the Bible and just praying and just realizing how important God is first and then my family and then whatever else comes after that. I wasn't thinking about somebody coming and taking my job. I wasn't looking over my shoulder all the time. And by doing that, and I came back to the States, and next thing you know, I'm back in the big leagues. And it didn't happen right away, but it did in 2002 when I made the team with Kansas City. And it just shows you that, you know, it's God's plan with everything. It's His timing, and He will provide. And I always, you know, use Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And once I put that in my focus as the top priority, my career just kind of extended a little bit longer.
So whether our fear is regarding our job, career, relationships, or whether our fear is, God, you're asking me to do this. You want me to go and have this conversation with this person. You're calling me to go and serve where? Listen, if we are understanding of our need of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Guys, as Brian, you know, and Tricia shared, you know, that God will overcome our fears. He will give us the strength. He will give us the hope and the encouragement to do what He's called us to do. Well, fear can keep us stuck in the fan zone. Apathy and distractions also do that. Apathy can be defined as a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. You know, maybe like me, I've heard the story far too often of someone who gives their life to Christ and they're excited, right? Their new life in Christ, I said yes to Jesus. But then maybe over time, that enthusiasm, that high kind of dwindles and wears down. Maybe it's because, you know, the reality of life sets back in and the busyness of life sets back in. Maybe it's because they didn't have a community around them to help them with the next steps. You know, it's important for us to share the gospel with people. But when someone says yes, it's as much important for us as to say, all right, now let me walk with you to show you what this new life looks like. And so sometimes, you know, we can hear other philosophies that cause us maybe to doubt who God is, or maybe we have experiences and, you know, the expectation we had of how we thought God should have worked in my life just didn't quite add up, and it can cause us to become apathetic. That can dull our excitement for Jesus. Or distractions, right? I don't even have to really explain that. I think we all understand all the different distractions that can come into our life that can cause us to lose our focus. The great preacher and theologian Charles Spurgeon said this. He wrote this: consider how precious a soul must be when both God and the devil are after it. And so even though the distractions may not be bad in of themselves, right? But maybe those things, you know, have subtly become more important. We shift our priorities and our focus on making our relationship with Jesus and being obedient to His will isn't quite in that top spot anymore. And so those things, fear, apathy, distractions, can keep us stuck in the fan zone. I want to share three things quickly about distractions. Distractions take the focus off God and they place it on us. Distractions stir up worry, fear, and doubt, and distractions keep us from living out God's purpose in our life. Well, one of the things that I love about Next Gen Sunday is we get to hear from our students, and I have four students up here today, and I have Donovan Miller, I have Abby Stanton, I have Ava Osterman, and I have Gracie Brewer. And they're up here because each of them, I have heard what God is doing in their life. They have shared some stories with me, and I see, they are just a small chunk of what is going on in our student ministries. But folks, I just want you to be encouraged by what you see in their life. As I see in each one of them, a desire to not be a fan of Jesus, but be a follower of Jesus. So Donovan, I'm going to start with you and just tell everybody just a couple things, kind of where are you in life right now?
All right. So hi, everyone. My name is Donovan. So right now I've graduated high school and I'm going to be going off to Moody Bible Institute here in about 17 days. So very excited about that. Mom's a little nervous, but I mean, moms will be moms. And so I'm really excited. I'm going to be going in for youth ministry, and because I've been really especially, I've been so fortunate to have great pastors like Bruce that I've interned under for the past 3 years. And just amazing people downstairs that I've worked with in Discovery Land for the past 5 years. And it's just an absolutely amazing time. And I'm hoping that once I get out of college to maybe even come back here and work or just find a new church that, or maybe even start a new one. So it's a lot of different ways that God can take me, and I'm really excited to see what he has for my future.
Yeah. Nope, hold on. So, you know, Donovan, again, you know, talking about being a follower of Christ means that, you know, we follow the calling that he has on our life. So just kind of share, what I'd like you to share is just how you felt God kind of calling you to go and study and maybe pursue vocational ministry.
Yeah, of course. So in middle school, before I, like, was volunteering here and everything, I had my heart set on going to Monmouth College because that's where my mom went, and I was like, that looks like a really fun place. Let's go there. But we visited the campus, I think it was my seventh grade year, and I just didn't feel like the right place. And when I turned 13, I was like, sweet, I can go and volunteer in Discoveryland. So I went and did that, and that's when God was like, yes, this is where you're meant to be. This is what I would like you to pursue. And so as I moved throughout eighth grade and throughout high school, it was really that push he kept putting in my mind, like Moody Bible Institute, because that's where it just always kept coming up and coming through and pushing through that. So that is where I am, like, that's how I felt like God has felt, pushed me to it.
Awesome. And again, you know, as we start to recognize the call that God has in our life, I just appreciate your willingness to say, I'm all in for God's plan for my life. So thank you, Donovan. All right, Abby Stanton, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Abby, just share just a little bit about where God has you in your life right now.
Yeah, so my name's Abby. Good morning. I currently actually go to church in Bethany Community in Washington. I've been there for the past year and a half, but Northwoods was really where I grew up, and it laid some really essential foundations for my faith so that I can walk with him very strongly now. Currently, I'm a student at ICC, and this fall, I'll finish up my associate's. My long-term goal is to be a high school English teacher, and I feel like that's a really big mission field, so I'd love to work with students and point them to Christ, but I'm putting a pause on my education right now to serve with Crew in Peoria, so I get to be a missionary to students at ICC in Bradley this year.
All right. Abby, you reached out to me a few weeks ago and said, you know, I'm looking to raise support. I'm looking to go on staff with Crew, and you just wanted to share that with me. So, and as you were telling me your story of what God has done in your life and how he's increased your desire to share the gospel with other people, you shared a particular story that I thought, I wasn't even thinking about today, but after you shared that, I said, this is a story that I think goes great as part of our Next Gen Sunday, and I would love for you to just encourage us and talk about that.
Yeah, so that story began my freshman year of high school. I met this girl at Peoria Christian School where I went, named Alyssa, and her family had just moved there, but the story is really about her twin sister, Emmy. When they moved to Peoria, Alyssa chose to go to Peoria Christian School because she was a believer and was walking with the Lord and valued a Christian education, but her sister, Emmy, grew up in church, heard the gospel, but didn't have that relationship with God, so she chose to go to public school because she'd rather go to church one day a week than six. But our relationship really started freshman year of college at ICC. I kind of knew Emmy through my friendship with Alyssa, but we really got to know each other at ICC because most of our friends went to different schools, so we kind of just had each other to cling to. But we really conveniently had similar break periods, so most of the time we'd be able to meet for lunch, work on homework together, or just talk every day of our freshman year. And going into that, I knew that she wasn't a believer from what Alyssa had told me, and we'd been praying for her for a while, and so I really tried to have a missional mindset as I was relating to her. And whenever conflicts would come up in my life or in hers, or even between the two of us when we would butt heads sometimes, I'd try to, you know, model Christ's love and gentleness and compassion and point her to scripture. I try to invite her to Crew, invite her to church. She actually did come to Northwoods a few times with me, which was really cool to see. But yeah, through that relationship, I could tell that God was working in her life and that she was getting more and more curious about what a relationship with God looked like. And it got to the point where she was the one taking initiative in our relationship and saying, hey, what do you think about this as a Christian? Or what does the Bible say about this issue? And then April 14th of 2024, she actually did give her life to Jesus, which was, I know, right? Yeah. That's exactly how I felt. I've never gotten a better text message, so I was really, really so excited to see that God had worked in her heart. And since then, she's been able to bear so much fruit, just totally 180'd in how she relates to other people. We got to go on a mission trip together in March with Crew, and then she actually just got back from Ecuador like a month ago with our church. So there's just been so much fruit in her life, and she's totally a changed person. And then in January, she took another step of faith to get baptized with our church. And well, when she was sharing her testimony, she said that our friendship was actually a really big catalyst in her faith journey. And, you know, on Wednesday, I got dinner with her and her family and asked, like, what did I do? I felt like there was never this big dramatic movie moment where I shared the gospel with her and gave this call to repent and believe, and there were tears and she prayed the prayer. That's not how it went. But her mom told me that what was really impactful to Emmy was just how I walked consistently with the Lord, and even in our daily interactions was able to model Christ's love to her. And so I'd encourage everyone, like, I get the opportunity and the privilege to be a missionary this year, but a missionary isn't just someone who does mission work vocationally. Everyone who identifies with Christ and is a believer has the same call to be a missionary and to be a witness, and God can really use those everyday interactions with people to have an eternal impact, just like he did with my friend Emmy.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Abby, for sharing that, and again, just for being willing to be a follower and go and do and say what God calls you to do. Well, Ava. So, Ava, why don't you share just a little bit about where you are in your life right now?
Yeah, sure. So I graduated from Dunlap High School a couple months ago, and I've decided to go to ICC starting this August and major in elementary education. I really love kids, and I feel that God has given me a gift to bond with kids really well, so I'm really excited to do that. And so right now I'll be sticking around here with Northwoods and hopefully doing a lot of volunteer opportunities, still deciding if I want to, you know, maybe be a leader in Converge this year or doing what Jesus did class. So I'm kind of still in between those two, praying about it. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see what God has in store for me.
All right. Well, Ava, one of the things that I have really come to appreciate about you and the last couple of years, you have been a great example to a lot of students of just someone who just has a heart of saying, man, I come to Converge. I know how it's blessed me. I want to invite my friends. I want to invite them to come to church on Sunday. And so I just appreciate your heart to just put yourself out there and not be afraid for your friends to see that you love Jesus. And so, you know, there are a couple examples of how God has used you to impact the lives of some of your friends. So I'd just like you to share that.
Yeah, so I feel God has always given me the gift to just go out and talk with people in general. I'm a very talkative person. I might talk your ear off for a really long time. So I think he's given me the gift. And ever since I was little, I've always been like, yeah, I go to church and you should go too. And where do you go? You know, just talking their ear off. And so starting in middle school, I was inviting a lot of people. Hey, I go to this thing called Converge and you should really go because it's really fun. Da, 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 da. And so a lot of people would come and they'd come and go. But in high school, especially freshman year, I met this girl named Mackenzie, and we were having a dodgeball tournament at Converge, and it's like dodgeball tournaments are, you play dodgeball, but it's also a really good night to invite people from school and be like, hey, we're doing this thing at church, it's dodgeball, but then it kind of gets them to keep coming. So I invited her this random night on a Wednesday night. I said, hey, tonight we're doing this thing at Converge. She said, yeah, sure. So we picked her up, she came, she kept coming, she enjoyed it, she kept coming to Converge. She eventually started bringing her sister to Converge, and so they started coming, and then eventually they started coming to Sunday services together. And so I asked her some things like, hey, are your parents like Christian? She was like, she told me a little bit about it, and eventually she got her mom to start coming on Sundays, and she said that it wasn't like a regular thing that they did, they didn't really do that, but they started coming, and there are regular attenders at on Sunday services here at Northwoods. And actually last summer all three of them got baptized together and surrendered their lives to Christ together.
Yeah,
so I think God really put something in my heart that one invite to just a thing at Converge turned into three people surrendering their lives to Christ and, you know, still on their journey with the Lord right now. So that's one of the key things that keeps me going, thinking like, wow, I'm really seeing God work. Another thing is I have a friend named Katie. I got really close with her my last 2 years of high school. And she came to convert with me one night, and then she kept coming, kind of like Kenzie. But she was kind of confused, a bit like, wow, did a guy really build an ark and the flood was flooded? I mean, the earth was flooded, and it was kind of hard for her head to get, it was hard to wrap around her head. And so I tried to just sit down with her and talk, like, yeah, this is like what God does. Like, God does these amazing things. And she still asked questions here and there, but something clicked this past month, and she said, hey, I was baptized as a baby, but can I get baptized again? And I said, yeah. I said, yeah. And I said, do you understand what that means? She said, yeah, I want to surrender my life to Christ. And some of the things that came across her head was, I don't want to give up what I already have, because that's hard. And I said, well, this is what you get in return. And so she said, okay. And she wants to get baptized in a couple weeks here in the lake. And so I'm really excited for her to do that. And she's going off to college. And so I'm excited that I got to share the gospel with her. And so now maybe she can go find crew or something around her campus, and she can start evangelizing to other people. And so I think God has definitely given me the heart for evangelism. And yeah, I can use it in a lot of ways. And something that is hard when I have been given that gift is rejection. That has happened a couple times. You know, at school, I go to public school, and, you know, people have their opinions, and I'm really open about sharing it. And so some people would say, I don't like that, I don't believe that. And I'm just like, okay. And so I keep praying for them. And I believe that a lot of those people will come to Christ one day. And so, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. And Katie was actually up here helping you lead the kids' choir this morning. And so, yeah, just incredible to see. If we're willing to just say, God, I'll be obedient. It's amazing what he can do. I believe a good phrase, Pastor John, immeasurably more, right, than we could imagine if we're just willing to be faithful. All right, Gracie, last but not least, Gracie Brewer, share a little bit about where you're at.
I'm Gracie. I also recently graduated high school, and I'm planning to move to Texas to participate in, they call it a prep year. Here we would say a gap year, but it's called Turning Point USA Prep Year. And just prepping you kind of for what's next. I get to keep learning, which I'm excited about, so.
All right. Well, Gracie, one of the things that I wanted you to share today is you literally yesterday or Friday, was a Friday that you got home? So Gracie, her brother, another student, just spent the last 2 weeks out in Colorado with Summit Ministries that is designed to help build and reinforce a biblical worldview in students to prepare you to defend the faith, to make sure that you don't get led astray by worldly philosophies. And so I just appreciate your willingness to say, I want to be better prepared for whatever God has me. And I would love to just have you share just a couple highlights from what God taught you and was doing in your life through your experience at Summit.
Yeah, some of them are pretty simple, but they just hit different. The reminders at Summit were super helpful for me. So one of the first things is the idea that as a Christian, our goal is to show Jesus to other people. Like, that's something I knew, but I realized that, like, my focus was on my own goals, like get married, go to college, what do I want to do, what do I want to learn? But just like the idea being planted in my mind that that isn't my ultimate goal has caused me to think a little bit and caused a shift. And so I'm super thankful for that. And then another simple one was the fact that people are made in the image of God. One of our speakers would say this, like, every day. He'd be like, I love you. Do you know why I love you? You're made in the image of God. I have to love you. And it was just so funny and also just really stuck. And as the Lord used that in my mind to, like, really be able to look at people and go, like, I'm looking at an image of God. Like, they have the signature of God on them. And that's also begun to, like, shift my thinking. And those two things play into how we interact with people. They also taught us how to, like, interact in conversations with non-Christians. And one of the things was, if someone makes a claim that is against Christianity, first, they're made in the image of God, so you'll interact in that conversation in that way with love and grace. And second, they actually have the burden of proof. And this has given me confidence. I haven't had a ton of time to practice this yet, like, actually, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Like, we as Christians aren't on trial the way that, like, I kind of thought I was in a way. If someone makes a claim, they have the burden of proof, but how you interact with them to help them realize where their belief doesn't hold weight is by asking clarifying questions. It's a way that doesn't have to make them defensive, but also helps them to see the truth. And the way that they put it at Summit was by putting a stone in their shoe. And someone else said, it's like gardening, like there's gardeners and harvesters. It's good to share the gospel, to share your testimony, that's super valuable. But sometimes also evangelizing looks like just asking good questions. And they have to grapple with the idea that they come to conclude through your questions. And it may take time, but hopefully they come to see the truth of Jesus, because that's the only belief that really holds weight.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you sharing that, Gracie. And I appreciate you taking 2 weeks out of your summer that you could have been doing other things and going and equipping yourself. So I just want to pray over all four of you. Father, I just pray, Lord, for Donovan, for Abby, for Ava, for Gracie. I thank you that you created them in your image, and that by your grace and mercy, you have brought all four of them to the point where they have believed that. They have received the gospel message, and now, Father, they have a desire to be fully committed followers of you. I pray for your protection over them. Lord, as they go out in the world and as they face any type of hostility or people who want to cause them to question their commitment to you, that you would just preserve and protect their hearts and their mind with the truth of your word, that you would keep them well embedded in the community of believers. And Father, Lord, I thank you that you're already using them to have an impact in the lives of others, that there will be people ushered in through the gates of heaven because of their faithfulness to you. So I ask your blessing on them, and that what they shared today would be an encouragement to us as well. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Folks, give it up for our students. So, yeah. Well, folks, I'm gonna land the plane here. We're gonna wrap up, but I just wanna go back to our passage one last time. And I wanna go back to the first three verses of Luke 9, verses 18 through 20. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they replied, "Some say you're John the Baptist, others say you're Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "God's Messiah." In the book, Not a Fan, the author talks about DTR, defining the relationship. Right now, oftentimes, we think of defining the relationship in the context of maybe a dating relationship. Is this the relationship that's going to go, all the way? I remember having a couple of those define the relationship talks with my wife. Believe it or not, she was hesitant at first to say, I'm not sure that we should get married because we're too much alike. Now, if you know us, you know that couldn't be further from the truth. We are the reason cars have dual air control on either side of the vehicle, right? So, defining the relationship. I think probably in most relationships that we have, we come to a point where we have to define the relationship. Even as parents, when our children get to a certain age, our relationship changes as they turn into adults. But there's no relationship where it's more important for us to define the relationship than our relationship with Jesus Christ. And notice when Jesus asks his disciples, "Hey, so you've been out and about, going about, telling people about me, who do they say that I am?" We see by their answers that people really don't know. They have all these other people that they say Jesus could be. But then Jesus turns that question on them and he says, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter gives that famous response, "You are God's Messiah." And so as I get to close out my portion of the service, I just want to ask you, as you consider that question, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you just a fan? Maybe we need to do an assessment and define our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the great thing is that wherever we find ourselves,
Jesus is willing to say, take my hand and let me lead you closer to me, closer in the truth. So maybe you're here today, and if you were honest, you would say, I don't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've never actually taken that step of faith and understood the reality of me being a sinner. I've never embraced accepting Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross as my only way of salvation. Maybe today that's the day for you. Let me tell you, a few weeks ago, we had our very first vacation Bible school, and we had 125 that we know of children who said yes to Jesus Christ in 1 week. And some of those children are going to be joining us at the end of August out at the lake for baptism. Listen, maybe that's going to be you as well, that you need to say, I'm going to take that first step in being a follower of Jesus Christ, and I am going to receive his gift of salvation. And then if we've already done that, then I just encourage you as I am saying, okay, God, every day I need to love you more today than I did yesterday. I am all in. It is game on from this moment on. I want to pursue not being just a fan, but I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to ask you to stand. Our worship team is going to lead us in a song before Pastor John comes up. But as I pray, I just ask you to cry out to God and say, God, help me to take the next step that you have for me. So, Father, I pray and thank you. Lord, I thank you that you don't just allow us to have just a little bit of an understanding of who you are. You welcome us into a close, personal relationship. The God of the universe says we can know him. We can have a relationship with him because of the obedience of Christ and his death on the cross, his shed blood, and the power of his resurrection. And so, Father, I pray that if there are those here today that need to, for the first time, say yes to Jesus, God, that they would not allow fear or apathy or distractions to be their excuse anymore. And God, that they would today say, yes, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And Father, for those of us that have already made that decision, Lord, that you would keep us from the things that distract us from saying, I am all in, game on. I want to serve you wholeheartedly, fully, 100%. Lord, I pray that not only with our children and our students, but us as adults, that this church would be a catalyst for what you want to do in our community, in our city, and around the world. Because we are a body of people who say we are not just fans, we are followers of the Almighty God, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. So have your blessing on us today, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.